Everyone, before we get started talking about today's incredible movie and our incredible guest, we just want to say that unfortunately our live show has been postponed until October because of low ticket sales, essentially. But don't worry, we are determined to talk about Rocky Horror live with all of you.
We sure are. Yeah, I think it's just a, like, it's the middle of summer. People are on vacation, whatever. We've heard from a lot of folks who are like, but I want to come. Why is this when it is? So, you know, now it's not. It's going to be in October when people have less things going on. And if you already bought a ticket, you don't have to do anything. It'll just change to the new date. And if the new date doesn't work for you, you can email us and we'll sort that out. And yeah, we hope to see you in October. And also, this means that you'll get like a bonus week of camp in October, and I haven't cleared this with Jesse yet, but my plan is that we'll replace Rocky Horror during summer camp with Spice World, my favorite movie.
Ooh, yes. Great. I'm into this.
Cool. Yeah, all right, let's get into the episode. Hello, and welcome to The Gaily Planet, a podcast where two queer nerds talk about media we love. I am Lark Malachi Gray.
And I'm Jesse Blount, and I'm excited to announce that we have been joined by a third person who maybe you've already are aware is incredibly awesome, is Courtney Perkins from the Instagram meme account Not All Geminis, which you should be following if you're not.
Heck yes, you should. You've maybe heard Courtney on other episodes of other podcasts that we make as well. We had such a good time talking with Courtney about this pivotal movie in her life, and we're really excited for you to listen to this episode. Yeah, and so now, Jesse, what movie are we talking about this week?
We are talking about 1999's cult classic, and I feel like seminal queer movie, But I'm a Cheerleader.
We sure are. Now I'm going to tell you what But I'm a Cheerleader is about. So, But I'm a Cheerleader is the story of Megan Bloomfield, a totally straight teenage cheerleader whose friends and family stage an intervention and send her away to True Directions Conversion Camp, where she learns to accept her lesbianism and falls in love with a hot, mean punk girl named Graham. Graham tries to go back to her life in the closet, but Megan cheers her way into her heart, and they run away together, aided and abetted by her wonderful new chosen family of conversion camp dropouts. The end.
I was thinking about this in my head, and I'm like, the summary could just be like, Megan found love in a hopeless place, but...
It's true. All right, so now newspaper sound effect, and we're going to magically have Courtney in the room with us and start our discussion of the movie.
Woohoo!
Courtney, thank you so much for joining us. Again, this is your third time on your third different hashtag Ruthless podcast. If you're a Buffy fan, you're about to have made all of the rounds because we will definitely get you on We Are the Gayers.
Oh no, that's the only one that I'm not checking the boxes for. But you know what? I'm thrilled to be here. Big fan. Thank you for having me back. Always wonderful to see your faces.
I'm so glad. I don't know if it actually made it into the episode, but when you were on the Gay Pirate podcast to talk about astrology and Our Flag Means Death, like afterwards we were just chatting about like, oh, we're doing summer camp, whatever. And you're like, oh, if you're doing But I'm a Cheerleader, I want to be on it. And we were like, oh, we are doing that. And you can be on it. And so that's how this happened. It was just perfect. The stars aligned. LOL.
Oh, man. No, I'm so excited to get into this movie. This movie is like debatably pivotal for me.
I'm so excited for the like essay section of this.
Oh yeah, that's we're all gonna have like these personal anecdotes.
I know. Yeah, it's gonna be intense, I think. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Jesse, do you want to kick us off? What's our headline?
What happens when you throw a bunch of sexually repressed teen homos in a house with barely any supervision, pre-internet, won't surprise you, but the happy ending will.
Yeah. And now we are going to turn to the front page, where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else. And Courtney, as our guest, would you like to tell us your first front page item?
Yeah, I've got, this is so obviously like built into the purpose of the movie, but just like with the parents, I'm like, what did they think was going to happen? Sending a bunch of like closeted kids to go do like a camp together and like hang out in this like weird rehab. Like, I don't know. When I was watching it this time around, I was just like seeing like in the opening, like with the parents, like they're so concerned. It's like their biggest fear. Oh no, lesbianism. And then it's like, okay, so you threw her with some more lesbians.
I know. If I were the parents and the like representative for this conversion camp showed up and it was RuPaul, I would I feel like all my red flags would be going off, but apparently they don't have any of those. So
wow. Oh man.
It's also really, I don't know, ironic, I guess. Is that if they hadn't have sent Megan to camp, she probably would have married her milquetoast boyfriend and not figured out she was queer until she was like 30.
That's true.
You know? Yeah. When the rest of us do. There's like this whole scene where they're like, the first step is admitting you're a homosexual. And it's like, she's so deeply like in denial that it's like, oh, you're actually low-key teaching these kids self-acceptance. No.
Oh, it's so true. Jesse, what do you have first?
I just want to say that nothing makes me laugh more than one of the signs that they're like, this makes you a lesbian, is her dad being like, you tried to make us eat this tofu shit. And it's just like, nothing is funnier. And like, as someone who was a teen vegetarian before I realized that I was queer, I'm like, nothing just makes me laugh more.
The whole like tofu vaginal iconography Melissa Etheridge trifecta of like queer lesbian indicators was like, I mean, so Jesse knows this, but Courtney, you probably don't. My first concert was Melissa Etheridge. I won the tickets on the radio when I was 8 by knowing like the rest of the words from where they paused the song.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like my favorite musician when I was very small.
Elaborate on that. What?
I mean, my parents were like alternative rock listeners. And so that was just like what I grew up on. And I just like fucking loved Melissa Etheridge. I don't know. That was the concert where I like learned that lesbians existed. I was like, Mom, why are all those ladies dancing together? And she was like, here's what a lesbian is. And I was like, this is excellent news. Allow me to tell everyone I know about this, including my like very Christian grandmother, who was like, how dare you? My parents were already divorced by then. It was fine. And I think that was like the same age that I became a vegetarian. It was just like, I'm very much and have never been a lesbian, but like I definitely was like, yes, baby queer lark. No. Is like, these are correct.
I mean, vegetarianism and veganism, they're queer coded. You know, we can accept that.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes the joke so funny. Like,
especially in the 90s, where I feel like now it's, I think, more mainstream, where like making that joke wouldn't be like, what are you talking about? But like for the 90s context, you're like, yeah, only like weird hippies and queer people ate tofu.
Yeah.
Is it?
We shared that one because that was also my next one, and I feel like I had a lot to say about it. So it's definitely Courtney's turn.
Okay. I mean, this will probably come up later when we talk about like just the fucking sex of it all. This is such a horny movie. Yes. Like this truly. Movie. Rewatching it, I was like, I knew it was horny. Obviously, I knew it was horny. But like, I was just like kind of taken aback. I was like, oh my God, I love how like just like openly sexually interested these teens are. I don't know. Like, it's so campy and just goofy. And even just like seeing Rock, her son, like jerking off a broom. Like, I'm just like, I love this commitment to the bit, you know?
Yeah. I literally wrote down, if she didn't want her son to be gay, why the fuck did she name him Rock? Like, what were you thinking?
This is truly,
this is my logic.
I paused on that exact same thing because my friend was like, I have a non-binary friend named Rock. And I was like, I have a non-binary friend named Stone.
Yeah. Yes.
I also would assume that this is also a nod to Rock Hutchinson, the actor from like, oh, geez, the 50s and 60s, I think. Like, really, like, you know, cut jaw, super mass dude, totally gay. And it's like, no, and like, no one knew, quote unquote, but like, I think he like lived with his roommate for like 17 years or some shit. And it's like, no, dude was a big homo, but like played all these like super mask roles. So it just made me laugh. Cause why would you name your child after that actor? Clearly, it's like, you want your child to be gay.
100%. Jesse.
I know we're probably gonna talk about this later, but the bar cocksucker reminded me of so many like funny tiny gay, like one room gay bars that I've been to. Especially, it actually really reminded me of, there used to be one in Battle Creek, Michigan called Partners that was just like one room. And I'm like, oh, this reminds me of that. RIP tiny one room gay bars in the middle of nowhere.
Howdy. That's actually kind of a cute name. Partners.
Yeah. It's very much like, if you don't know why it's called Partners, maybe you wouldn't know that it's a gay bar. Because I'm like, yeah.
You go in there expecting it to be Partners, like the country western kind of Partners, and you're like, what is happening here?
Like,
There are cowboy hats, but they don't seem to be the right kind.
Everyone's wearing a lot of flannel, but you're really not quite sure the gender of anyone who's wearing the flannel.
Right. Oh, amazing. My next thing is also about this bar, but it's just the fact that, like, everyone in there is dancing to this club music like they're at, like, an eighth grade school dance, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this, like, awkward swaying back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, even, I was stunned in this rewatch to see Julie Delpy. Like, I think I just didn't care about her when I first watched it, like, enough to have her be the memorable thing in the movie. But first, this time I was like, oh, I'm taken by shock. I was just shocked. And even she is dancing like a shit middle schooler. Like,
yes, it's so funny. That's like the least gay part of this movie, is the fact that like none of these gays are dancing. Like, yeah. What's happening?
Yeah. Maybe it's early in the night. No one's drunk enough.
True.
Maybe, but it's both times that they're in there.
Yeah, that's true.
I just want to say, this is such a star-studded fucking movie. Like, the people in this movie went on to do such great things, you know? Like, I mean, just looking at it, it's like, just in the background, like Michelle Williams, you know? Like, also, like, her dad is Bud Cort, like, from Harold and Maude. Like, that's so cool.
Oh my God.
Like, it's just like, all of these people are so, I don't know, it's so fun just to see all the familiar faces. I don't know, like Melanie Lynskey, and love Melanie Lynskey, you know?
My favorite is still baby Dante Brasco, who I literally had to Google today. I'm like, isn't he gay in real life? But I don't think he is, even though I'm like, are you sure? But
I did the exact same thing, because I think that you said that he was recently on, like, when we were talking about something else. And then I was like, oh, no, he got engaged to a woman this year. But, like, that's his, like, first listed partner on Wikipedia. So, like, I'm open to just assuming that he's bi. Let's just assume everyone is bi until proven otherwise.
Yeah. We can't, you know, we can't know everything.
Exactly.
We can't be asked to track it all.
I mean, I feel like regardless, I want to say gay icon for this and Rufio, so.
Yeah, totally.
For sure.
My next thing is just, I don't know, at a point where, names. Graham and Joel, question mark, are like fake flirting. She's like, you seem so manly. Manly is good. He goes, thanks. I feel like an aggressor. Like, this is so fucked up and so funny.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
Oh. That's just like every attempt they make is just like pure comedy. Mm-hmm. Like I love every time, like, oh god.
Yeah. The script is like, the lines in the script are like immaculate, I feel like. I have one more thing left, which maybe, Lark, you will appreciate, which is the beds that the girls sleep in look wildly uncomfortable. Like, the mattresses seem too firm, and whatever blankets they're using, I was, like, watching it, and, like, the texture is making my skin crawl, even just from watching it on television. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, you're, like, to the point where you can identify something that I will identify as the worst thing you can touch with your hands. Like, absolutely, those comforters are the worst thing you can touch with your hands.
Which is too bad, because the pillowcases are very cute, but, like, it's true. Everything else about that bed is god-awful. It like, super oh, no. is.
Yeah, my last thing here is just, ooh, I'm so bad with the names. Whichever kid it is that says, I just wasn't meant to be butch, I'm a sissy. I was like, same, baby. Same.
Oh my god.
Welcome to the style and fashion section where we talk about aesthetics.
I mean, it's so fun. Like, it's so fun, all of the commitment to color and just like it so enforces the binary so hard of them just being like, no, girls like pink and boys like blue. Like, it's painful, and it's also just like, it's so such a delight to look at all of them, like, so color coordinated.
The entire color palette of this movie is just iconic.
Like, yeah, truly. I was like, this is absolutely what I want my house to look like. And I like, I'm almost there. This deep into the pandemic, I'm like, I have made over almost every room in my house, and I'm like getting really close, but I'm just like, how is this conversion camp space like the gayest thing I've ever seen? Like, it's gayer than the like gay refuge with the rainbow painted walls. And I just want it. I want it to be my own.
Yeah, it is like the Barbie dream house. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you guys know, but that, like, famous purple and pink house in Santa Monica, like, off the beach, where it's, like, it's always in memes, where it's, like...
Yeah, with the, like, all black one.
Like, goth black house, yes!
I biked past there one time when I was in LA, and I was like, oh my god, look at it!
Oh my god, it's so cute. When I saw the But I'm a Cheerleader house, I was like, oh, it's just, it's like that house. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just brimming with so much life. It's so cute.
Yeah,
I mean, something about a pastel Victorian house is already so appealing, but yeah, the interior design of that house is just out of control.
I have to say, really quick though, before we move away from the houses in Santa Monica, like, pre me ever having seen them in memes, like, my partner and I biked past there, and I like stopped him and was like, look, it's us.
Oh, well, me and who? Like,
yes, sorry, Jesse. I did mean to cut you off, but I apologize for cutting you off.
No, that was incredible. All right. I want to start off with, okay, I don't remember the name of the lady who heads up this.
Mary.
Every outfit Mary is wearing is just amazing. Her just, like, her, like, hot pink pantsuit that she, like, rolls up in, you're like, did your gay son design this for you? Because I think he did.
Yeah, she's immaculate. Also, she should have played What's-Her-Face in Serial Mom. Like, that actor would have given me what I wanted from Serial Mom, I decided.
I mean, I feel like that's, I think, barely controlled serial killer is kind of a little bit her vibe, but mm-hmm. like in a funny way in yeah. this movie.
I know that this is not just like style and fashion stuff, but the juxtaposition of, why is my brain just like going blank? Megan and whatever her best friend's name is, like, when they both have their lockers open and her friend has this like hot guy with like literally like the text just says dude, and like she has this like hot woman and it says best friends. I was just like, this is exquisite. Like, this is Everything about like the visuals of this movie is immaculate.
It's true. There are like so many just background jokes that are so fun. I didn't actually see the dude versus best friend typing on those, but that poster that she pulls out of Megan's locker is like, what is this comical? Just this is a joke. Like this is a universal joke. Like what? Possibly, it's not even like there's no fashion moment, like there's not, it's not a celebrity, it's no, there's no excuse, yeah, you know, like it's just like this is fully just a woman in a bikini.
You know, I always assumed it was cut from like a catalog or something, because it's not, it's like not even inherently an attractive swimsuit, it's just like a regular photo. I'm like, you cut that out of your mom's Sears catalog and you're like inspiration for being a cheerleader, and it's like no.
Yeah, in my bisexual history, you know, life story, like in high school, I think my freshman year, one of my notebooks for like one of my classes was just a collage of lady underwear models, and the other was all just like dude underwear models, like artistically collaged together. And I was just like, this is a, I mean, I like realized that I had a crush on a girl in eighth grade and was like, I'm bisexual. Okay, great. But I just am like, this is so, I just like so like open and obvious. I'm just like, whatever. Good job, baby Lark. Just being fine.
Oh, no. It makes me wonder like what red flags were in my room. Or maybe not red flags, pink flags, yeah. Rainbow flags,
yeah. Like rainbow flags,
rainbow flags. Yeah.
Yes. What's next, Courtney?
I have to give a shout out to Rock's outfits. Rock walking around in his slutty little cutoffs, like he's just fully cheeked up in these denim shorts and like constantly just like chopping wood or something. Jerking off his little broomstick, like with his wearing his tank top. It's like, oh, I love it all. I love it all so much.
So much. It's so good.
It's like the least practical thing to do yard work in. And I'm like, this is going to be me doing yard work when I have a yard one day. It's just me in a pair of booty shorts and like a tank top listening to like disco. It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
Like, he seems happy. Like, I'm happy for him that he seems happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least maybe when he's out with his boys on the yard, you know?
I couldn't stop thinking about how great, like, his TikTok channel would be. You know, people are, like, so into, like, hot dudes chopping wood TikTok. Like, can you imagine?
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. They're too sensual for me. They're like, I don't like them. They're uncomfortable for me. It's almost like those people, you know, that, like, men who will like seductively cook a meal and like wink at the camera, like it gives me the same vibe. I'm like, ah, I don't like that you're it's too much. Like, honestly, if I was watching you have sex, it'd be less sexually tense. Yeah. I don't know.
I feel that way about the one, like, I'm assuming she's a queer lady on TikTok who does, like, she's, like, always, like, chopping wood shirtless in just, like, her sports bra. And I'm always just, like, this is great. But I'm also, like, I feel like I shouldn't be watching this on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm like, why do you invite me to this? Like,
oh, amazing.
I'm not mad. Let people thirst on, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I can't really complain, right?
Okay, I have to shout out, this is like literally a brief scene where like Mary's making all of the girls dress in like green, like evening dresses. And Jan's dress is so gay, but also like so incredible. It has like shoulders and like a weird, almost like open comb, like zigzag effect in front of their chest. And I'm just like, actually, you look fierce. You look like you just rolled up a pride in like a this like structured, almost like Grace Jones looking dress. And I'm like, okay, wait, no, this is actually incredible. Jan, you should steal that when you leave.
I cannot wait to see this image in our screenshot roundup because I cannot pull to mind what you're talking about. I know, but it sounds incredible.
Oh my God, I probably should look up a screenshot, but it is very fierce. I was like, holy shit.
Honestly, like, Megan really, she rocks this clothing. Like, if like it doesn't suit, obviously it doesn't suit everyone and shouldn't and is fucked up by nature, but like, I mean, she looks good. Like,
it's not that different from the stuff that she's wearing before she gets there. And like, I mean, everything that she wears before she gets there is like 12 out of 10.
Oh my God. Like that yellow dress when she's being driven to the camp. You're just like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
You look great.
You're going to fit right in.
Exactly.
In more ways than one. Like,
LOL.
Okay. The scene where Rock gets in trouble for like drinking his fruity little drink with a straw. Mary, the camp leader, she is like spraying her plastic flowers with a spray bottle that is a flamingo, and I lost my whole mind. I'm like, I don't shop on Amazon anymore, but if I did, because I assume that's the only place I would be able to find one of those, I would have ordered one, like, in that moment. I would have paused the movie to go be like, get me a fucking flamingo spray bottle right now.
Oh my God.
Oh, that just sounds fun.
I was too busy laughing at her spraying those fake flowers in her yard to notice the spray bottle.
Oh my God. Again, can't wait for the screenshot roundup. You're going to lose your mind. It's incredible.
Oh my God. Her whole character of just like, even when she shows up and she's just listing, like she's like clearly trying to get, like when she's trying to get Natasha Leo to admit to her lesbianism, and she's like, what about a, when you see a woman's just like her long legs walking to a bathroom, and she's just like getting so into it, and you're like, oh, I get it. I get it now. Yeah. I get your whole thing. Like immediately.
Totally. Yeah. What else do you have, Courtney?
Okay, well, this is sort of goes back to the way like the clothes do sort of fit Megan. They also look so uncomfortable on Claire Duvall. Like, has anyone ever looked so out of place in their own clothing? Like, well, I mean, I guess it's not her clothing, but it's just, I feel like maybe it's just something about her acting or just something about her face and like the reputation she already like has and had as an actor. But like, it just looks so off. Like, it's just so, like, she looks extra,
yeah,
I don't know, like, folded in on herself.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, which is, like, honestly such a mood for anyone who's been like, oh, I really don't want to wear this gendered piece of clothing. I feel deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For sure. Like, it's so, yeah. I think she just does, like, a great job of even just, like, accentuating that, like, how deeply uncomfortable she is with it. I don't know.
Yeah. Jesse, do you have anything left?
I just have one last thing, which is when Megan goes to the two dudes who are like liberating all of the queer kids, Dante Brasco is wearing what is essentially something from the Tyrant Pride collection, which is just like a rainbow shorts. And like I know that at this time it's just making fun of how over the top this part of the movie is, but I'm like, okay, but like why can you buy this on the internet now? I'm like, this is hilarious, but also I'm like,
Wait, wasn't that basic, like that exact thing was part of at least last year's Target Pride collection, I think.
It was, in fact, part of last year's Target Pride collection.
Oh, my God. Wow. And a live, laugh, lesbian to us all.
Yeah.
Listeners, content warning for the politics section of this episode. It's obviously going to talk about conversion therapy and things related to that, and you should check the show notes if you need to skip that conversation, because there will be minutes there for the timestamps. Welcome to the politics section, where we talk about things that are fucked up.
So I think we have to start off with conversion therapy, as this entire movie is both satirizing it and using it as like, here is the place where our two main characters like find love, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And okay, so from what I could find doing some brief internet research, conversion therapy basically started in, like, in the 60s. And it really started / still is very focused on like gender non-conforming kids / trans kids. It also shockingly has roots in the quote unquote cure for autism, in case folks weren't aware about how ableism and homophobia and transphobia intersect. And literally every medical and mental health org in this country is like, this does not work, it hurts children.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Literally everyone. And it doesn't work because
Because no shit.
Like, people can't change who they are, A. And, like, the idea that, like, even if you could, that Western medicine has, like, that, like, medicine has the answer to that when you can't even make, like, antidepressants that, like, work consistently across all people is laughable. You know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's just basically a way to manipulate, shame, and force kids into the closet, and it sucks. It doesn't work. Don't do it.
It's bad, yes. And listeners, we're not going to, like, spend a ton of time on it, but Jesse did make a really great link roundup of information that we will include in the show notes.
Yeah. And to connect it back to the movie, and since this is rooted in, like, essentially transphobia, a lot of the emphasis we see in the movie where it's like correct gender roles is a thing that actual conversion therapy does emphasize, because, you know, adhering to quote unquote correct gender roles will make you straight, obviously. So, yeah, that was my brief roundup about conversion therapy and why it sucks.
A couple of the things that, like, they even cover, and it's like, obviously this movie is so fun and funny, but, like, it is based in something that actually happens. And watching it, there are parts of it where I was like, oh, this is reminding me of confirmation class. 'Cause I got confirmed as Catholic when I was in high school, but you have to, like, be in the class for, I don't know, probably a year or two beforehand, where you just, like, you're meeting up every week or something, and, like, discussing the principles of Catholicism. Mm. And, like, part of it was just being like, okay, so we're all anti-gay here, right? Like, and I remember, like, getting, I don't know, having a conversation. It was so fucking weird. It was fucking weird. Arguing with my confirmation class teacher about this. And it's like, I don't know, just seeing, like, the way they, like, pray over her. Like, I mean, wow, that, I feel like that works both versions of the word pray on mm-hmm. this. But,
yeah,
like, the way they're praying over her at, like, dinner and, like, just, I don't know. Whole thing is just, like, icky. Like, it's, and I think they did a really smart thing in making it such a funny thing to highlight the fact that, like, yeah, this is a joke. Like, thinking that this could ever work. Like, this is so ridiculous that people try to do this. Like, it, all we can do is laugh, like, because it's horrible. But, like, I think that that was a fun and smart move, even though it is, like, this to like guise the horrors with, like, I don't know, candy coating of, like, laughing at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the movie does a really good job of, like, really not totally touching on the sort of dark content that is gay conversion therapy. But I also feel like I stopped going to religious-based schools when I was, like, 10 and, like, rejected Christianity on a lot of its hypocrisy and bigotry early, where I, like, I don't have a, like, I wasn't a, like, oh man, I struggled really with, like, my Catholicism, you know, because I was gay. So I feel like for people who maybe have had that experience, I could definitely see it still being, like, weird, a weird experience to watch. But I think that in general, it is as light as it can be, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it does do a really good job of there being enough of a separation where it's not like you're, like, making light of this terrible thing. You have to go, like, really, really hard on the satire, I think, to be able to, like, take something that serious and, like, make it a cute, funny rom-com. And I think that it definitely hits that level, which is really impressive.
I think the aesthetics work, like, having it be almost like they're in, like, a Barbie dream house of like, funny, trying to be cishet. Yeah. Is, I think, really sort of leans into sort of the absurdity of, like, traditional gender roles, quote unquote, in the first place.
Just, yeah, like, and having, like, the graduation thing that you have to do be, like, you basically are, like, having someone direct you in, like, a porn, but you're wearing, like, Adam and Eve outfits. Like, it's, yeah, the satire is, like, so big and goes so hard that you're just, like,
yeah,
able, yeah, it makes it digestible in a way that is, I think, really impressive.
Oh my god, are there graduation outfits that look like they're literally Barbie clothes, like shiny plastic Barbie clothes?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. couple of other politics points here.
Yeah.
Which, Courtney, you actually talked about earlier. Like, this movie is incredibly horny, but it's not, like, uncomfortably horny. And I feel like it's horny in a very realistic way of, like, being a sort of, like, I'm a maybe closeted or, like, I'm a gay teen and I, like, don't really know who else is gay. So I can't really, like, flirt with people. But, like, I'm in this situation where it's surrounded by other gay people. And I'm like, cool, like, awkward touches and, like, looking at people's boobs and their shirts. And I'm just like, it's just so well done.
Yeah, I do. You both probably already know this, that the movie is, like, 5 minutes longer in Europe than it is here. And, like, the stuff that was cut here was to, like, get it down from an NC-17 rating. And I'm like, what was in the movie? Like, I want to see the European version of the movie.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
I have some trivia about that in Health and Science, actually.
Okay, great.
And that doesn't surprise me because I think the sexual repression in movies made in America is almost a joke at this point.
Yeah.
But is also deeply not funny because it's like, try to make a queer movie and people are like, no, this is porn. This is NC-17. And you're like, they don't take their clothes off. Like,
I know.
What are you talking about? Yeah.
Oh, we're so weird.
I know. Hyperviolence is fine, but...
Right.
Making jokes about women going down each other. Mm. Not for anyone, apparently.
Right. Courtney, what else do you have here?
I guess this is kind of about... Like, this is less of a movie, but, like, I was really curious about how this movie got made. So, like, this was, like, kind of more politics of Hollywood. So I was, like, reading about it, and it was independent. And I think that's so cool, like, because Jamie Babbitt was, like, I don't know. I was just, like, listening to her talk about, like, how did this movie get made? And it was, like, really just through, like, a kind of queer community here, like, based in L.A., of people that she knew and could help her make it. And I was like, oh, that's so nice. Like, that's such a nice backstory of being like, oh, we really didn't want to make a studio movie. And it's like, I mean, I guess things got cut anyways, like, just to be seen in theaters. If you want to go, I don't know, feel a little heartened to, like, queer people coming together to make a movie like this, like, go look up what, like, the way she's described, like, making the movie, because it kind of made me happy.
That's excellent.
Even though it was, like, this fucked up, like, studio culture that, like, probably wouldn't approve a movie like this.
Right.
Like,
yeah, she actually did a pretty good interview a couple of years ago for Autostraddle that I read for this, where she had to, like, find someone to write the script super cheap. And someone, like, one of her friends was like, I know this guy who was in my class who did his whole, like, senior project on, like, gay dudes in football. And so he wrote the script from her idea. And, like, she had initially envisioned it as, yeah, two girls fall in love at a, like, gay conversion camp. And his sort of addition was all of this shit with the gay dudes, which, like, I find incredible because it's, like, a really excellent gay... It's, like, gay solidarity. And I feel like there are not a lot of movies where we can see, like, queer dudes and queer ladies and queer they-thems get together, you know? And
yeah.
It's just, like, a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love that. It's true. It feels like most media kind of, like, picks a side,
right,
being like, this is a gay movie, this is a lesbian movie. It's like, why don't we get these pals together? Who do you think queers are friends with other than other queers?
Right,
like,
exactly.
Yeah.
You find, use a reference of, like, actual queer friend groups, and then you will find that there are a lot of different kinds of queerness that you should probably have in all of your fucking queer movies, because all we do is hang out with each other.
I know. Yeah. And
eat tofu.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, I don't know, there's sort of, like, diversity of both queer people and, like, racial diversity in this movie is, I feel like, still groundbreaking, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really great.
I just love having RuPaul be the leader. Like, how did RuPaul get cast? I need to know.
Apparently he was thrilled to do this role, and, like, I feel like this is maybe one of his very few roles where he's not in drag at all, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've seen him on, like, sitcoms in the 90s where he'd be, like, you know, looking very mass-presenting, but then would eventually end up in a beautiful gown. Mm-hmm. And so to see him playing, like, just being Butch the entire time is so funny, but also so pitch-perfect.
The
for,
literal
like,
worst sense of the word Butch.
Yeah, I guess it's also Butch in quotation marks.
Because those shorts are still real tiny and that shirt is real tight.
One of my favorite parts when they try to do like really traditional masculinity is them playing sports. Like them like trying to just like catch the ball and stuff. Like this is a parody of like, I don't know, the way gay men interact with athleticism, but it's also, it's just like pure physical comedy. Yeah. I love it.
The fact that like a punishment that is like stated that could happen is that they'll be forced to spend an entire day watching sports.
So funny. But also funny as if like sports aren't full of like dudes in either tight or revealing outfits like grappling with one another.
Yeah.
True. Like, oh, but like I can't think of anything more boring than having to spend a day watching sports. So
I guess that's fair.
I mean, here, I'm seconding you on that. But also I do love the queer athlete representation in Dolph as being like, he introduces himself and he's like varsity captain. Like it's like
varsity wrestling captain, and I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Protect him at all costs.
Oh god. It's also just like so real. Locker rooms are homoerotic. They just are. I'm sorry.
You're talking to two people who went to non-traditional high schools, so like at least at my school there wasn't a locker room, there wasn't a gym. So
I didn't have a gym or a locker room either.
I haven't been locker room since middle school, when I was just like hiding in the corner, like, you know, doing the thing where you change with your shirt on the whole time. So
yeah.
Oh my god, that's so wow. That's wild. I have such a normal like high school experience. My school is like one of the that's not fair to say, but I am from Texas and I went to like a Friday Night Lights style, like everyone's obsessed with football school, so it was like locker room culture huge. But I guess that's a specific kind of high school.
They're the only school sport at my school was ultimate frisbee, and I'm not joking.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think that doesn't surprise me at all.
Okay, makes sense why you're like a sports hater. Like, I do not want to watch sports. Let's get a frisbee in the park, y'all. Like,
but I feel like also it seems like Megan comes from that kind of school because like it has a big enough cheer squad where they're traveling to do like cheer competitions. Yeah. And it's like, you know, every high school invests in that. And so I'm like, it must also be a big football school for that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Which, I mean, I guess good for her.
And good for her.
Welcome to the essay section where we talk about our histories with this movie. Courtney, you should please start.
Oh my god. Okay, my history of this movie is so fucking gay. I was introduced to this movie by this girl who I was friends with my like senior year of college. And so we watched it together and she was like, you should be here for Halloween. And I was like, okay, like if you say so, I will. Like,
so oh my god.
Megan Leone for Halloween, and we're like, I love having you as a close friend. Just continued for months of just, oh my god, just the most homoerotic friendship maybe of my life. You know, it's debatable, you gotta consider different time ages, but I was like, I've looked back on that and been like, oh, that was a moment, like that was something maybe I should have clocked.
I bet she's thinking the exact same thing when she looks back on it.
Yeah, 100%.
We had a conversation about it, and we were like, yeah, wow, that was a pretty gay French. I mean, we're both out now, so like, you know, like, I'll just say that.
Amazing.
I love this movie.
Yeah, so I mean, like, when we had the conversation that led to you being on the podcast for it, like, what is the thing that makes you be like, oh, this movie, like how has it progressed since then?
I think like at first I was like, this is such a funny movie, you know, and it's like I was already so, I don't know, embroiled in like a queer culture, like I said, like we pack together, like, and just I don't know if I was thinking about it super consciously or maybe conscientiously like while I was going through that period of my life, but it's just like it's funny to, I think what it did for me is it highlighted things that had happened in my life where I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I mean, maybe this is why I brought up the locker room thing. I'm like, I think like it would be hard to define, and I would never tell her this, but I do think that like I had a crush on my friend on the tennis team, and it's like, but in that weird way that like sometimes friendships can be like sort of possessive and just like you're so excited to see someone, and like and so just like all of the like cheer montages where she's like, what are you talking about? I'm just happy to see my friends and I don't want to make out with my boyfriend. I'm like, yeah. Isn't that crazy? So I don't know. This is like a movie for me about realizing things, maybe? Probably, yeah. Because of the bonding experience I had in college. We'll use the word bonding.
Yeah, yeah. Jesse.
All right. So when I was in high school, I had a bunch of lesbian friends, like queer friends. And I wasn't out yet, but like we hung out a lot and watched a lot of queer movies. And this is like the early 2000s. So we're like, how many queer movies can we get from like Blockbuster, Family Video, like whatever. And most of the 90s lesbian movies are fucking depressing. A lot of them, one of them dies, or it's just like, we can't be together. And it's just like, this really stood out to me as like, oh, hey, this doesn't end depressingly and bringing the entire mood of the party down. And also just like, I don't know, sometimes a lot of them are boring and I would fall asleep a lot, but I'm just like, oh no, this is my jam. Like, it has aesthetics. It's a lot of fun. It's like a lot of fun music.
Oh yeah, the soundtrack is so good.
The soundtrack is banging. Oh, yeah. It's incredible. And so, and like now, like rewatching it, it's still like, I think I can still only count on one hand the gay movies that I've seen focused centered on gay people where it has a happy ending.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is that still so fucking rare? Like, can we?
Yeah.
You know, unless it's like a fucked up horror movie, which, okay, I can accept a bury your gays trope. I'm like, I don't want to see another period piece from like the 1930s. I'm like, I want to see a weird gay movie. And this is, I mean, honestly, this is like a John Waters movie, but made by someone cooler. I mean, I love John Waters, but like made by a queer lady. And it's like explicitly camp. It's explicitly fun. I mean, you know, and like, that's just all I want to watch is like fun gay movies.
Yeah.
No, I think that's so real. Like, just the fact that like it is so funny is part of what makes it so like iconic in the queer canon, is like that it's like, oh, this is such just like a breath of fresh air in terms of just like queer joy, you know? Like, it's like, it's so, yeah. And it's like you feel like you're in on the joke from like the very beginning, and it's right. Like that, I don't know, it makes it so unique. Like, unfortunately, we don't have enough like hilarious queer movies. I mean, we do, of course, we have a lot of amazing queer media, but like the thing that you're saying, I think the dominant culture, it is like the like Call Me by Your Name, Emma Knight, like kind of, oh my god, this sort of makes you want to kill yourself a little bit, but like,
yeah,
but wasn't it sweet while we were watching it, you know? Like,
yeah, this is like made for gay people, which is, yeah. Like, it's like, this is not for the heterosexual gays, which is why no critics liked it, and it's like, fuck all you guys.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's like the tagline is just like, it gets better, you know? Like, that's just like, yeah. The heart of it, and that's, mm-hmm. Something nice in a world of very depressing queer movies.
Yes, for real.
Definitely. Yeah, so I think this is my third time watching this movie, but it might be my second. But I don't, like, I didn't remember it as much as I would have expected to. The first time that I saw this movie was, like, at a Riot Girl meetup at the, like, youth center when I was 14. And it was, like, my first time going, and it was, like, hello, everyone. Like, let's watch this movie. And I had the same reaction to it that I had to like going to like the GSA at my school, where I was like, I understand that I belong here, but I don't understand how I belong here. And like, I don't know. So this is like a new podcast for us. So there presumably are listeners who like haven't been with me on my gender journey, but like, I'm bisexual, but I like mostly identify as a fag. And so like at 14, I'm like, what does it mean that like, I'm just this like tomboy, manic pixie, dream girl, like that feels like my relationships with boys are like pretty gay, but doesn't know how to explain what that means. And so, like, watching it today, I was like, well, Jan was probably, like, pretty too much for me in this movie. But so I just, like, I was like, yep, I've seen that. And I'm, like, never going back to Riot Girl. And didn't. And also, like, same thing. I went to, like, 3 GSA meetings and was like, I don't know what this makes me feel. And therefore, I'm going to be, you know, just, like, by myself over here dating boys and feeling weird. That's fine. Very glad to have watched it again. We'll definitely watch it more in the future. Yeah, when I, like, texted Jesse to put it on the summer camp list, part of my reasoning was, like, I think I need to watch this movie. And I'm, like, very bad at watching new things if I don't have a reason to. So I kind of am using this podcast to be, like, what are things that, like, people keep telling me I need to see? Let me just make a podcast about them.
And, like, almost nothing, like, cringy because of the time period.
I know. It's
which
great.
Is, like, so rare for a movie made in the 90s. Or at really any ever. So,
yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so rare that, like, comedy in general holds up. But, like, you add the, like, the layer of being, like, oh, this is a movie about, like, you know, kind of social movement, like, about people's, like, core identities. There's a lot of ways you could fuck that up. Like, it's pretty shocking how well it holds up.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome to Editorials, where we rant about stuff. Courtney.
I love this movie so much that I'm just like, I don't know. I don't really have many criticisms of it.
Editorials can be good rants, too. So, okay. Like, options for editorials can be, like, this thing happens and it makes me so fucking happy that I need to, like, really talk about it.
Okay, then I have a moment. I love in any romance the moment where it's like, why don't you just do what you want to do? And it's like, what? You don't want to see what I really want to do. It's like, well, fucking do it. And then they make out. I'm like, I love this moment of like, I won't admit it. I won't say I'm in love. And then be like, fucking make me, you know? Like, and the Clea DuVall moment of like her and Natasha Lyonne just like fighting in this gay club. Because why the fuck would Clea DuVall take her to a gay club and then like go dance with someone else and be like, you have to dance with someone else? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You have more Riz than this. And additionally, like, you know that Megan is so sensitive and sweet and virginal. Like, obviously, you're not going to take this well. And so I live for a heated buildup where it just turns into this argument of being like, why are you upset? Like, I'm not even upset. Like, dance with whoever you want. You know, like,
yes.
That just, ugh, mwah. Chef's kiss. I love a sexually tense argument between people who just can't say it, you know?
Especially when it ends in them kissing, because I feel like that, yeah, getting to have the release and not having to, like, wait through, like, 30 more minutes of movie, that's what I want. I want instant gratification.
Yeah, especially because Graham is, like, so cool for, is, like, too cool for school up until that point. And then she's like, I don't have any friends. And I'm like, oh, this makes sense. You're just too cool for school because you don't know how to people yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Jesse.
Okay, so I realized in rewatching this movie, when I first saw this movie and Lloyd and Larry show up to, like, take all the kids to the gay bar and then, like, have a home for all the kids who get kicked out or run away from the conversion camp, I'm like, I want to be them so badly. I'm like, I needed to be in my life. And, like, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm still like, how can I be a place where I can just take in random homeless queer teens and just be like, fuck your parents, be as gay as you want. You still have a curfew because structure is healthy. So.
Oh. Yeah. No, they're so sweet. It's like, ugh. I love this idea of like, just, yeah, taking in a troubled queer teen. Like, I don't want more troubled queer teens in the world, but I do want them to have more, like, open arms to take them in. And I'm like, if I was given the opportunity, I would shine at this. I would love to pick someone up and tell them it's okay. My dream is that one of my nephews will be gay. We'll find out.
That is also my dream, which I think I have a high probability of.
All of the kids that I nannied who are like old enough to be gay now are gay now, and I'm like fairy godparent of the year, of the decade. But they also all have great parents, which is I'm glad about. Yeah. They don't need me anymore. It's fine.
I also want to point out that Lloyd and Larry have like, I mean, it's like a joke about them, like how they deal with like having an argument. But like as an adult, I'm like,
oh, their communication.
Yes. Right. I'm like, I wish me and my wife could have such a like clear communication when we had like a frustration. I'm like, damn, you guys really are role models.
Aside from talking about ourselves in third person, I feel like that is how Evan and I argue for the most part. The talking about themselves in third person part was like a little too cutesy for me. I was like, I mean, I liked it in the movie, but like, I don't aspire to that level.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just like, this is like, look at these two healthy adults modeling like good communication styles for these wayward queer teens. Ugh. Ugh. Oh, my heart.
I love it. I love it so much. Oh, be there for queer youth.
I know.
The only thing I have here that hasn't already been touched on is just taking a moment to like really sit with this like correct sexuality reenactment thing that they have to do where it is like a porn set.
Yeah. Feels so illegal. Also, I'm sorry. Rock is like, what, 25 or something? And they're supposed to be like 17. Like,
and her so child, much about it. Like,
yeah, yeah. Like just what?
So fucked up.
Yeah, the fact that that scene comes off still so goofy is, I'm like, literal movie magic. Because everyone's just watching and like, this is, and it's just like, this is so awkward. Like, and everything is awkward and you're just like, ugh.
I feel like it is the best commentary on the silliness of the idea of conversion therapy of the whole movie. It's because it takes it to like literally what is the most extreme version of this is like having these teens that you're trying to convert like star in a straight porn together in front of everyone to like prove that they're straight now. And you're like, yeah, like that is great. What they're doing.
They yeah. must be like,
yeah. Oh my God. Like, right. And Rock is being so inept that it is deeply funny.
It's so funny. Oh my God. He somehow manages to be the gayest person there.
Which is honestly saying a lot, because one of those gay boys like flounces. Which he does. Is, I think, not a word you can use except for on tiny gay men. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Or, yeah.
I love all the gay boys. They're all so sweet. They all have their different personalities. They're just, they really do round out the movie. Like, it is so nice to get to see both sides of the house. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like in a lot of movies, even contemporarily, it's like, oh, the lesbians have like their one gay male friend, or the gay male friend have their one like funny lesbian friend. And this, it's like, I mean, I don't want to say equal amount of boys and girls because Jan is trans, but like an almost equal amount of kids. So yeah, so we get sort of a little bit of like, even though the movie is about Megan, we still get a little bit of, right, of Brock's struggles and the other kids like struggles to lie to their parents about being straight.
Yeah.
Okay, something I learned is that like when they were filming this, Clea DuVall was extremely closeted. And I was just, I think it's so, what an insane power move to become a gay icon, like as part of your coming out. Like, that's insane. That's so cool and so brave and just wild. What a way to like announce to the world, you know? Like, I love it. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, like it's sad, but then cool, you know?
Welcome to the horoscope section, where we talk about the astrology of characters.
The astrology of it all. I was like thinking about this watching the movie, and I mean, look, it's so campy and so just like everything's blown out of proportion that it feels almost like silly to try to call these real people, but like, but they are, so we will. I guess we should talk about Megan first.
Yes.
had a couple thoughts around this, but I think Leo is my vote. I think that she's a Leo because she's so exuberant and just full of energy and enthusiasm, and like has this just like beaming smile and like enthusiasm to everything. Even once she commits to conversion camp, she's like, I'm going to be the best at conversion camp. Like, she's just so, there's like a determination there that is so fun, but it's also just like tied in with like optimism that I think Leo has. And then like, I also think that Leo is a sign that really actually respects authority, because they're like the sign of royalty, like they're the king. And so it's like they're, I think, always very aware of hierarchy and like their role in it. And so it's like, they do respect their elders. And I feel like she's such a little like goody two shoes in this, of like, she really is listening to her parents. She really is listening to like the counselors and stuff. And like, it's, and also just Leos are so stubborn that I feel like she had this like very stubborn attitude of like, I'm not gay. Like, what are you talking about? I'm not gay. Like, that's absolutely, I know I'm here now. I know you've already presented me with the Melissa Etheridge poster, but like, you don't understand me. Like, I understand me.
Right.
And it's like that just like brutal denial. I think sometimes there are Leos who will avoid the self-scan because they're like, I don't actually want to find out something I don't like about myself. So why don't we just continue on not investigating that? And so that is how I came up with this conclusion. Also, Leo's ultimate cheerleader. Ultimate cheerleader of the Zodiac, in my opinion. Excellent hype man.
This is very on topic, because watching this movie, I'm like, Megan is a little bit Elle Woods to me. And I'm like, oh, is Elle Woods a Leo? And I'm like, probably.
Elle Woods is a Gemini. It really? Actually comes up in the movie when she introduces herself to her, like,
oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. She's like, I'm Elle Woods. This is Bruiser Woods. And we're both Gemini vegetarians. And as a Gemini, I have, like, this is, like, burned in my brain. Yeah, so sure. I'm sorry. I just had to. I had to get that out there.
Speaking of a bisexual vegetarian, anyway. It's very off topic, but.
Yes. Yeah, checks out.
Did you guys have thoughts? Were you thinking of?
I watched this movie like 12 minutes before we had to record. I did not have time to.
Okay. I actually didn't realize that I had to write that section to my notes, so I did not write that section to my notes.
You're so fine. Then I will say, I mean, Clay Duvall, Scorpio. Do we think Scorpio?
Yeah.
I mean, like, come on. Like, you just, it's the vibe. It's like it's the jabs immediately that are so sexually charged that it's like, oh, you're being mean to me, but it's also hot. And like, I know that there's like, this is so weird because I feel like you're bullying me, but like, you're making sexy eye contact with me. That's what it's like to flirt with a Scorpio. Is that not what it's like, where you're like, do you hate me? Or are you obsessed with me? Like, like, do you even like me? Because I could have sworn we were flirting. Like, that is like, I feel like, yeah, Graham voted a Scorpio in my book.
I feel like hard outer shell, gooey interior, definitely seems very Scorpio. So, and that's definitely Graham.
Yeah, I also think the thing where, so there's like the girl that is Sunday on Buffy, whatever, the goth girl who like, you know, is managing to wear like fishnets under all of the goofy things and therefore still like looks goth. And then there's people like Graham who like did all of the right things, and yet somehow you still look at her and you're like, you are an alternative punk person. Like, you are just exactly the same as Megan, and like your whole vibe is still like you're the cool kid, and like that's Scorpio.
Totally. It's like, it's a mystique, you know? It is. It's just like, it's the intense eye contact. It's like the hair falling in the face to conceal. How am I really feeling about this? Like, it's also Scorpio.
And I have to say, it is a skill as someone who had a school uniform during high school to like be like essentially obeying what the uniform is, but still looking, in Clea Duvall's case, I mean, already a total dreamboat, but even more like an like alternative dreamboat is like impressive.
Oh my god, she's so hot. That was like, I was like, I can't lead with this, but that's really like my other blinking headline for this movie is like, Clea Duvall is so hot. Like,
I mean, I feel like Clea Duvall and Natasha Lyonne are both babes. I feel like Natasha Lyonne, now that she's older and like her voice has dropped 3 octaves because all her smoking, like her rasp now is just like,
that's, yes. Yeah, that's the Natasha Lyonne I want. I don't really, I'm not interested in Megan, but Clea, you know, like Graham.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I mean, I love a soft butch, so.
I also think Scorpios love their secrets so much. And just love, like, the concept of secrets. Like, they love they love having a secret. They love learning a secret. Like, they love the control of information. And it's, like, the fact that she is so clear, like, with herself and others, that she's like, yeah, I know who I am, but, like, I can keep this a secret for the rest of my life if it means I get, like, a trust fund and... I don't know, like, and then what? After my parents die, I can just be gay as fuck? Like, that feels like this, like, a Scorpio scheming move of, like, no, it's fine. I'm fine. Like, this is, I can totally do this and keep this secret. And then also, like, you know, then creating a secret with Megan, you know, having this, like, secret affair. Like, I think that's all very Scorpio-coded.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, who else do you want to talk about?
Who else? I mean, the other characters are less... defined, but I guess, like,
Mary has to be like a Capricorn or a Virgo, though.
Yeah, I was gonna say Mary feels to me, yeah, actually Virgo makes more sense. I was gonna say Capricorn, but I think Virgo might make more sense because Virgo's more into the nitty-gritty, like more likely to call out a straw. I think,
is it the polishing the plastic flowers that tips it over?
Yeah, like a little more. Just a little more over analysis, I think, yeah. With a Virgo. Virgos are more, because Capricorns can actually sort through information to find, like, what's useful here, and Virgos just fixate, and it's like so much of this is just the details of, like, what makes a person gay? Tofu. Yeah. You know, yeah. Like, this is her program is like, no, you're gonna polish those edges, like, and also I can help you, like, is yeah. there anything more Virgo than, like, a savior complex?
But a savior complex with a system, like the movie yeah. has. If you haven't watched the movie, everyone, it starts off with, like, the steps that they go through to make them, to quote unquote make them heterosexual, and it's very much Virgo, I have a system. Yeah. And I was just like, oh wow.
And if you check these off, like, you'll be fine. Everything's right. fine if you just follow the system. Like, it's, don't worry. We don't even have to really engage mm-hmm. further than that. Like, it's yeah. fine.
Yeah, I'm married to a Virgo. I am well aware about how the Virgo, I have a system, works. So,
it's always a system. Okay, but someone who seems like an agent of chaos in the system is RuPaul, who, you know, as much as, like, he's leading the group activities, he's kind of freestyling. Like, he's going off, he's making his little jokes. Like, he's like, huh, like, I know you want to, boys. Like, and that to me feels like Aries. Like, he's got so much energy, and he's, like, he's always yelling and just being, like, okay, here is what is on the docket. Like, does Aries love anything more than, like, imposing their schedule? Like, it's a perfect job for an Aries.
I feel like also maybe the denial part, if I'm being, like, oh, I'm an ex-gay, and I'm, like, you really are not, my friend. I mean, this, I don't think there's a thing as an ex-gay, but you really are not selling it.
Yeah, I don't even think that he is, like, believes that. Like, he and Rock are, like, fully hooking up, right? They're, it's not just, yeah, like, belonging looks. Okay.
Definitely, yeah.
It's, like, the only reason he's still at that job is, like, waiting for Rock to move out. It's like, dude, you're, like, 25 years old. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is that RuPaul's getting paid and Brock is not. So that's always a damper on the moving up part.
Yeah, that's
It's like,
true.
All right, we're both just waiting for your mom to die so you can inherit this house and we can just transform it into what Lloyd and Larry have down the street.
Oh, yeah.
That's my alternative ending, everyone. So that's what happens.
I love that.
Lloyd and Larry link up. Okay, Lloyd and Larry, one of them, I think, is a Cancer. Like, the shorter one,
yeah.
I think, Cancer, and the taller one, Capricorn. And they're just, like, the nurturing duo of, like, I'm gonna save you, we've got an action plan, and why don't we pause a moment to, like, really clear out this communication, you know? Like, I feel like that is that couple to me.
Yeah, also, that feels so true.
Yeah, especially whichever one of the taller one, I don't remember which one is Lloyd or which one is Larry, his whole vibe is, like, prepper. But, like, obviously not, like, weird hoarding my guns prepper, but, like, we're going to have a community garden and get together with our neighbors and, like, foster, like, the future of gay youth kind of prepper. And I felt that feels very Capricorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, driving the car and just being like, okay, get in, gang, you know? Sure, we can add one more. We'll figure it out. Like,
We have enough rice in the cellar. Like, don't worry, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. In fact, take this Target T-shirt.
We're all eating rice and tofu. Don't worry, it'll be great. So good.
I think that might be all I have for astrology, though. Honestly, the other characters are just not as, you know, not as performed. They're not as fun, so.
Welcome to the personal section, where we talk about sexy stuff.
Look, I've said it before, I'll say it again. This movie is so horny. Oh my god. Like, even just starting from, like, just, like, the sequence of just, like, titties bouncing, you know? Like, and then her absolutely disgusting slobber fest with her boyfriend.
Oh my god.
Oh, yeah. They come out swinging.
I, like, all the time am like, it is a miracle that I am fine with kissing. Like, I have, like, such intense aversion to, like, slimy things. I'm like, but, like, if I think about it, I'm like, I'm literally never kissing anyone again for the rest of my life. And this movie definitely, I, like, had to look away. I was like, I'm not going to be able to, like, kiss my partner for 2 weeks if I keep watching this. No.
It's gross. It's very viscerally gross in a way that, like, shouldn't be. And I just, like, it's done very well.
Yeah.
It's her eyes, like, bugging out are just so funny. Like, she's just so dissociated.
Yeah.
But it made me ask the question, though, when she does finally make out with Graham, like, this is her experience with kissing. Like, I bet she was a horrible kisser. Like, I feel like Playa Duval had to teach her. I bet she came in just slimy as fuck, too, you know? It's what she knows.
Yeah.
Whatever. Graham was like, oh, that's so cute. You don't know how to kiss. Let me show you. So.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll be our mind canon. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It just is also just really refreshing to watch all of these teens, like, discover their sexuality in a way that's not, like, super voyeuristic for an adult to watch. Like, I feel like for, like, teens to watch it, it probably feels very, like, yes, an accurate representation of how it feels to be a horny teen, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The zapper? The, like, pain therapy thing where she's just, like, clearly using it as, like, a vibrator, like, it's like, or of some sort, I don't know,
because when she introduces herself, she stands up, she's like, I'm whatever my name is, I like pain, and I'm a homosexual, so, like,
she's
using it as
I love it.
What is the, which one? Masochism.
Masochism.
That's, like, one of my favorite parts of the movie, because it's just like, what else are these kids gonna use?
It's also indicated that she's been, like, sniffing one of Graham's worn socks, too, which is, like, another thing where I'm like, absolutely not.
My favorite is, like, Megan is like, do you have one of Graham's socks? And I'm like, how do you know it's one of Graham's socks? Yeah. Aren't they all wearing identical pink socks? I'm like, sus.
Is that Baz's handkerchief?
Excellent.
No, that goes straight into her leaving to masturbate as well, and immediately running into Dolph and the blonde kid hooking up.
Some with an S, Shane, Steve, I don't know. Yeah.
Something like that. But he just, like, I love that immediate reveal of, it's like, yeah, this is all anyone's doing here. Like, just to be clear.
Yeah.
This is, like, we're just horny teenagers, and you've given us access to each other overnight,
poorly, like, there's no supervision. Mary is asleep.
Yeah,
whatever RuPaul's character is, he, like, lives, like, not in this house, he's, like, at his own place.
Yeah. Like, he's hooking up with Rock, like, in Rock's shed, right? Or something.
Yes,
like,
totally. Right.
Yeah, there's, like, a storage shed they're hooking up in, right? Yeah. And it's just like, what do you think is gonna happen if you just go to sleep and, like, leave these unsupervised horny queer teens?
I'm so stunned by the boldness of her just masturbating in this room with, like, I don't know, eight other girls sleeping there or trying to sleep. Megan's clearly fully awake next to her. She's just like, fuck it, I'm doing it. What? When am I getting privacy? Come on. Like,
yep.
Maybe she's into that.
Yeah, maybe. I think probably. Yes. I feel like she has the vibe of, like, being kind of into everything.
Yeah, with what we know about her, we can take some leaps, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is, like, I mean, again, like, What excellent representation, which is a freaky goth lesbian teen. I'm like, yes, this is what I assume of most goth teens in media, but I'm glad we're actually getting it here. Yeah. But yeah, Graham and Mankin are adorable, and I'm glad they basically drove off into the sunset at the end of this movie.
I cried. I don't know if it's because I was like smoking some weed halfway through. I was also just day one of my period yesterday. But when she starts doing the cheer, I was just like in tears, just sobbing watching. I was like, it's so happy, nice, and just so earnest. Like, my God, I love it.
I feel like I always chirp a little bit because, right, she's so earnest and she's like so unsure this is going to work. And I'm like, I know it's going to happen, but I'm like, you really put yourself out there in a way that I would have never done for anyone. Like,
I know. And it's so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very pure.
It's just so sweet. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're the one that I adore.
Like, so cute.
Her little face, like seeing Natasha Lyonne, like, my introduction to Natasha Lyonne was Orange is the New Black, where she's fully just like gravelly voiced lesbian criminal. And like seeing her at just this like little baby age with just these like doe eyes, it's so just goddamn sweet. I couldn't take it.
Is she gay IRL?
No.
No. Because I remember when I watched Russian Doll and she like leaves the party to hook up with a dude, I was like, you what? Like, I was like, what is this?
And then, who do you think you are?
Yeah. And then I think at that point I like looked it up and was like, same reaction only to like the actual actor. I was like, are you sure? This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, she's such a huge queer icon. Yeah. And I think at this point she's like so used to people being like, wait, you're not gay? And she's just like, yeah, whatever. Because she's been a gay icon since, I think, this movie.
Yeah.
You know? And she's often, like in Orange is the New Black, playing gay roles. You know? And I'm just... And so it's always funny to be like, wait, but you're sure?
Yeah. And you're committed to that choice. Okay. All right. No, yeah. It's like her and Kate Blanchett that are just like... I don't know if they intentionally became queer icons, but it's like, they are the straight women we love. We're like, go ahead, man, queer baby all you want. Like, I'm in. Like,
individuals, real people can't queer bait. That's fair, not a fair thing.
Yeah. I know. I love that they have been so adopted. I think it's like, if you just, Natasha Lyonne, like, playing... Yeah, going from this to Orange is the New Black is just like, we're welcoming her. Community's got open arms.
Yes, absolutely. Literally, my note just says, sexy movie, so I'm not much use here. Sorry, I like did the worst note-taking of my life because I usually watch everything twice, but I didn't get a chance to watch this a second time. And so I was just like, scrambling. Yeah, Jesse.
I mean, I think we covered a lot of other stuff in other places, like with RuPaul and Rock and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just inherently such a sexy movie. It just filters in, you know?
Yeah.
Filtering down the conversation.
I know. I really want people who are like, people shouldn't kiss or have sex in a movie to watch this movie to be like, oh yeah, this is why, like, sex and romance is sometimes inherent to the story. So...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. There's also something that's like, I don't know, fun about seeing that like complicated self-examination happening. Like, it is inherently like awkward because ultimately the thing we're talking about is like sex. Like, it's like sexual orientation. Like, it's nice to see it done in a way that, like, it doesn't feel like you're leering at anything, even though it is so openly, like, oh, this is the topic of the movie, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think it does a good job of conveying the fact that, like, teenage sexuality and, like, teenage sex is an innocent and, like, not debaucherous thing, which I think especially, or, like, maybe more vocally now, people, like, really, really struggle with, to be, like, a teen can be like young and naive and innocent and having sex, and all of those things can like coexist together because there's nothing uninnocent or like bad about sex or sexuality, regardless of the orientation.
Yeah.
feel like me being like, teens are gonna fuck is like one of our recurring themes on our podcast. Yeah.
And I felt this movie, it's like, right, it's like a little bit awkward, but like everyone's having a good time. Everyone's like, it's just, I feel like this is, despite being like forced into the situation, a lot of the kids who are having sex are like, all the kids are like having a good time. Yeah. You know? It's just like, this is like, oh yeah, we're in this cringy place with this like cringy, with like my cringy aunt, and I can't leave for like another 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all very sweet. And yeah, I feel like you don't often get like sweet and sexy coexisting in the same thing, but this movie is very solidly both of those things, like throughout.
Yeah. I mean, not to be that person, but I think not having the male gaze involved definitely helps.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, because we did just talk about Debs, which I do think is another movie that's simultaneously sweet and sexy. So might
for real.
We might have clocked onto something.
Give queer people more money to make.
Yes. For real. Welcome to the health and science section, where we talk about research that we did and things that are vaguely related to the ideas. This segment has gotten more and more amorphous as the years have gone on. What do folks have here today?
All right. So I have a couple of bits of trivia about this movie. First off, so Clea DuVall and Natasha Lyonne were our friends in real life. And Natasha Lyonne got the part of Megan because like Clea DuVall like picked her up somewhere and she saw the script in Clea DuVall's car and was like, I want to be in this movie. And they had already casted Clea DuVall because Clea DuVall was in a short film that Jimmy Babbitt had made. And she was like, love you, Clea. I'm writing this part for you. Like the part of Graham is written for her. But they hadn't cast Megan. And so, which explains their excellent chemistry.
Yeah,
it's because they like each other in real life. Which is just, I don't know, really great to know. And addressing the why this movie is 5 minutes longer in Europe, and maybe, Courtney, that came up in the interview that you were listening to with the director. But so even though there's not any nudity, and even the sex scene between Graham and Megan, they're like basically have their clothes off. Have their clothes on. I'm sorry. They basically, they're fully clothed for the sex scene. She got an NC-17 rating because if anyone watches the movie, this film was not yet rated. The movie rating board is very conservative, especially about queer shit. And so since they were fully clothed, because she was like, I'm trying to like have this have not have a R rating. It was like filmed really dark, but the rating board was like, we don't know what's going on, even though it's dark. So I'm going to like lighten it up. Also remove any mention of girls going down each other. Also shorten the scene where Megan and the other girl are masturbating, because you can't show teen girls masturbating in movies for whatever reason for more than a few seconds. So all those things got cut shorter or cut in order to make this. Actually, I don't even know what the movie rating of this is.
I think it's R.
Which doesn't make any sense because, again, there's no nudity. There's barely any swearing. Like, this movie should be PG-13, honestly. But gay people are inherently sexual. I mean, this is a sexy movie, but, like, homophobia.
Yeah.
So it has an R rating. So, yeah.
All right. Is there anything else? Cool, because we have hit the 2-hour mark. Good job, us, for not going over. Courtney, thank you so much for being here. It's a delight, always.
Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun. I love talking to movies about movies.
Yeah, no, this is a lot of fun.
So good. Can you just really quick tell our listeners where they should find you?
You can find me online at Not All Geminis. That is my username, my website, if you add a .com. And that is pretty standard. Or if you want to follow me personally, my username is Courtney_Perkins. So that's me. That's where you can find me.
Perfect. All right. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of The Gaily Planet, and thank you again to Courtney for joining us for this episode. Before I let you go, I wanted to let you all know about a new page on our website, which is #ruthless.com/supportourwork. It is a hub where you can see all of the different ways that you can support us, both non-financial and financial, all in one place. So it's really convenient, and As you know, we are 100% listener funded, and that's only true thanks to you. So if you want to support us, whether with your dollars or with your time, there are lots of ways that you can do that. Non-financial ways include leaving us reviews, especially written reviews on Apple Podcasts. They really do help people find the show. And to incentivize that, we're doing that thing where if you leave us a 5-star written review and then email us a screenshot of the review, 10 of the first 50 people who do that will get a sticker in the mail. And so you should, and we would really appreciate it. You can also donate your time in the form of helping us clean up our episode transcripts or by donating a design for our sticker club. And of course, telling your friends and family and enemies and lovers to listen to our show is also really great. Financially, you can join our Patreon, join our sticker club, or both together. On Patreon, there are options where you can have both as one thing. You can buy our other merch, you can leave us a donation, or when we have them, you can attend live shows like the one about Rocky Horror that will be coming up in October. Besides that, I don't have anything to say besides follow us on Instagram and hang out with us on the internet if you want really good memes and stuff, because we make those. And what's that? We're on Instagram at #ruthlesspods. So yeah, I think that's all of the things. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Crybaby. Hooray. And until then...